The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Well, that was so important that Peter would not only say that, James would say that. God resists the proud. One thing we want to get out of our lives is that pride and be humble before God. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you today on Exploring the Word. And Alex, we want to start off by saying thank you to our people who have called in. They've prayed for us. They've listened, but many of them have given. And for Share-a-thon last week, what a great blessing it was, brother. We just saw God do great things.
Yes, indeed. We give God the glory for all of the listeners and all the people that made pledges. Because, Bert, I think in addition to Tim and the leadership of AFR and you and me and all the great staff, I think there are millions of people out there that believe that our hope is Jesus, and we want the world to hear. And I know so many people. I was on the road, Bert, and I had the privilege over the weekend. I spoke at a church and a banquet for Child Evangelism Fellowship in South Carolina, and people came up and they said, hey, we were praying for Share-a-thon. We were calling in. And to one and all, we say a very heartfelt, sincere thank you.
We really do. And I was at Hillcrest Baptist Church in New Albany, Mississippi, just not far from here. And I had a dozen people or more come up and talk about how they enjoy exploring the Word. And one person said, Bert, where's Alex?
And, and people ask me that all the time.
Yeah,
they say,
I know.
Alex, where's Bert?
Yeah. So anyway, we appreciate that. And Alex and I really do thank God that he gives us the opportunity to preach on Sundays. And with Alex traveling, he speaks at churches all over. I usually do interim pastors while they're without a preaching senior pastor. I supply for a while, and I've been doing that. And so God is able to use us. But we're in 1 Peter chapter 5. We may have a guest later. We're trying and seeing, just to let you know. But Let's make a comment about the 20 hostages that was released.
Yeah.
And we're thanking God for that. We really do. And we know some of those hostages that were already, they were already deceased. Some of them, they've returned their bodies. So we're just looking and hoping that they can find further peace. We know real peace, lasting peace, will never come until the Prince of Peace returns, Alex. But we can pray that things would settle down and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we can do that And do it fervently, can't we?
Yeah, that's really one of the things that we are to pray for, the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, we rejoice. I think the world is rejoicing right now. And I got to say, let's pray that the terms and conditions are honored and upheld. You know, part of the plan that President Trump has set forth that has been agreed to is a board of peace chaired by President Trump and an apolitical government in Gaza that would lead to long-term peace. And we'll see. We're certainly hoping for that. But these are historic times in which we live. And, you know, I just want to say something else as we get into 1 Peter chapter 5. What an honor that the book you and I wrote on 100 Bible Questions on Prophecy and the End Times, that Tim Wildman felt led to use that as a thank you gift in Share-a-thon. But when you and I started working on that, you know, actually, I was taking notes for it several years ago, and then, you know, we in earnest about a year ago or so, but didn't know it would release on the two-year anniversary of the October 7th attacks. It released on the exact date, and then the week that the peace plan was agreed upon. And I felt like our book on Bible prophecy, it came out last week in absolutely prophetic times.
It really did, and we thank God for that, and we Just I hope you get that book and it will bless you and you'd use it. Well, we have our guest on, Alex, and Sergey has been on before, but I was talking to Brent and I said, man, it'd be good to hear from Sergey because he was there 2 years ago, October, right there. We were talking with him about what was taking place. It's Sergey Brazov with Chosen People. Sergey, thank you for being with us today. Okay, we thought we had him, but we did not. We're just going to try to...
We'll get him.
Yeah, we'll get him. Hold on. But Sergey has been with us two or three times, and I've had him on Exploring Missions. He's with Chosen People ministering, and we're just praying this opportunity. The reason I thought it'd be good, what an opportunity for us to try to reach the Jewish people for the Christ. Amen. Now, we always have that on mind. But ever so often, we need to take time out to concentrate on that, and we were going to do that. But let's jump into chapter 5, verse 1. Alex, he closes out, and he gives some what's unusual. He says, a fellow elder. He doesn't call himself apostle here. He doesn't say this, but he said, a fellow elder. I see some strength in that, but I also see humility in that. Let me read it. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder, but then he goes on, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, we'll talk about the verse 2 and 3, but a fellow elder. Amen. One of the greatest things that pastors can learn is we are a servant leader. You know, and we don't, Lord, he's going to get over that in a moment, and we're to be overseers, but we're to be an example, not lording over them, but entrusting that God would lead us. So here, Peter, at the same time that he's taking his position, but he also does it with some humility. Do you think that comes across here in verse 1?
Absolutely. And you know, that's all of us, that we're just, we're just fellow soldiers of the cross, aren't we? A fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Do you know, there's so much in there. We carry ourselves in humility, or at least we should, and we show respect to others because, listen, everybody in the body of Christ, that's a family member. That's a brother or sister. That's a fellow human for whom Christ died. And we are all partakers. And we better get along because we're going to be in heaven together, aren't we, Bert?
We really are. And we're going to say two things, and then we're going to go to Sergey, and we'll let him hang over into the second segment so we can get a little bit more time. But he is there. He says, a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now, again, he saw Christ, and again, John was the guy that was the apostle there at the foot of the cross, but Peter is saying he still was a witness of the sufferings of Christ because, remember, he would see his wounds, he would see all that. And then he says also the partaker of the glory that was revealed. He was the Mount of Transfiguration when he saw the Shekinah glory of God shine out of Christ. So he says, I'm a witness of all this. You can hear what I'm saying about Jesus Christ. Well, Alex, I think we got Sergey on. Sergey, are you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Amen. Way to go, man. Welcome. Technology's great when it works, brother.
It's true. Amen, Bert. How are you?
Amen. Well, Alex and I are so glad to have you on with us. We really want to know the 20 hostages that were released. You, as a Jewish follower of Christ, someone who had spent time in the military there and in Israel, you have family still there. How, I just want to know from a personal point of view, how does this make you feel, brother?
Oh, we are happy. We're very happy. It's like a double holiday today because we are celebrating the giving of the Torah tomorrow, but also we're celebrating the people coming out of being hostages. So it's amazing. I know that a lot of my friends were like crying since last night because everything started happening when we were asleep here, but in Israel it was already day. So praise God.
Amen. Sergey, Alex here. I remember when we first had you on, In the fall of 23, you were in Jerusalem, and there were bombs going off. We could hear explosions and things behind you. I trust the skies are silent today, and that the mortar and the fighting is not heard.
Yes, it's pretty quiet. There's a ceasefire in effect right now, so we hope it will hold.
Yeah.
So we pray that maybe this is the end of the whole war as we know it right now. So, yeah. Last time it was, you know, when we talked last time and I was in Israel then, it's good. I'm not in Israel currently, but yeah.
Let me ask you this. Not to belittle the peace plan at all. I'm not, and it's a godsend. But really, Gaza is land that is rightfully Israel's. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
So
yes, I'll believe so.
So and there is talk of the creation of a Palestinian state. I mean, long term, how safe and prudent is that for Israel on their land right adjacent to the nation of Israel for there to be a Palestinian state? I mean, is that just an unfortunate reality that can't be gotten around?
I mean, look, I believe we'll take anything possible right now for some quiet time and peace and any possibility to just, you know, stop the bloodshedding on both sides, honestly. And I believe that this is kind of like a good thing. But if we look at reality, nobody can bring peace to Israel except of the Messiah, except of Yeshua. We can talk about like peace deals and any opportunities, but they're all fragile for some time, for some moment, and we all know it. We all understand that. If the Palestinian state will start, I don't know. We know in history it's been proposed several times already. I think it's the sixth time that it's been solidified in the UN. It depends on the people. It depends on if they want peace, they will be able to sustain a state. But I don't know. You know, I read the Bible. I don't really see any state except of Israel there in the end. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Let me share this. I got on two or three times where those Palestinians, they're returning to the portion of Gaza that they're permitted to come in. And all of a sudden, there's been some interviews of these people. And I'm remembering over my lifetime with Gaza and everything, there was more volume words saying, we want peace. Now, that's the just the regular people coming back to Gaza that had occupied it. And they're demonstrating a little bit of hope. Now, I know the Prince of Peace is the only one that's going to bring hope, but I haven't heard them express that as much this time. Now, I know it's just fresh. We're talking about 2 days worth of them coming into the land that the IDF is permitting them to come into. But I think if they could be a respite for a while, and then do our best, and we need to do something. Okay, we're coming up on a break. We thought we was going to extend it. Hey, Sergey, can you stay over for just a minute or two?
Yeah, of course. I'll be around.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. And two things we want to talk to Sergey about that I know I want to ask him, and we appreciate him being on us. He's with Chosen People. I want to hear about what God's doing there as well. We'll be back right after this break. We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only options, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hours. loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper and our friend and perennial colleague on air, Sergey Brazov, and we're talking about the peace plan and the ceasefire in Israel. We will resume 1 Peter 5 here in a little while, plus take your calls and questions. But Bert, with Sergey on the line, you know, I think the prayers of millions of people are being realized with this peace plan. And just, I want to be clear, you know, we often pray for Israel, we pray for the Jewish people, but God loves the Arabic people too, and we want them to be saved and to know Jesus, obviously. And as Sergey said, the only real hope is Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. He is the one and only. But as a young teenager, I remember, this is way back, guys. Sergey, you weren't around then when I was a teenager, okay? But I remember missionaries coming to my home church, and they were missionaries in the Gaza Strip. I'll never forget that. And so what I'm saying in this, make it a matter of prayer. If we have the opportunity, America or missionaries or other countries have the opportunity to do something at this time, it may just be an interval of time, okay? It may be an open window just for a season, that we take and pray that God would move on people's hearts that are believers in that area to even go to Gaza when they can and share Christ. That's what I was trying to lead up to when I was saying hopefully these people are fed up. I know in Iran this happened, guys. The Iranian people found out that Islam is a false religion. It's dead. It's no good. And in the last 10, 15 years, more Iranians have turned to Christ than ever before. So I'm praying that would happen there in Gaza. That's a prayer. But one more thing before we let you go, Sergey. How's it going with the Ministry of Chosen People there in New York? We'd love to hear from you, brother.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's a blessing. Honestly, you know, the last couple of weeks and I would say a month, it's been just a lot of people coming to hear the word and asking questions. So just to give you a little bit of an update on what am I doing, it's in Chosen People, we have a new ministry that we started a couple of years ago. It's for college outreach, to reach the students, the Jewish students on campuses, like Columbia University and NYU. And we started Columbia University this September for the first time because we know the need that the students have there. And, you know, if you're praying for any students, pray for Columbia. They really need it. It's mm-hmm. It's amazing how God's changing everything there. And we've seen such a great response from people. The last couple of events that we were holding, we had 15 to 20 people coming over to our home, believers and non-believers, to hear the gospel, to talk to us. When we go to the park near NYU, New York University, to share with people, to ask them questions, there's an amazing response. And I think there is a lot of things led to it. You know, America is in a place right now where the gospel has an opportunity to flourish, and it's amazing.
Amen. Sergey, let me ask you this, Alex here. With the ceasefire, and I rejoice in the ministries that you're doing, but do you see any lessening of anti-Semitism or some of the aggression against Jewish people that we've seen in recent months? Do you believe that is going down? We pray so, of course, but what are you seeing?
Yeah, well, it's a little too fresh to say anything. You know, it's we will see the response in a week or two of anti-Semitism in the big cities like New York, mm-hmm. Chicago, Los Angeles, or just in general in all around the world. But I think anti-Semitism is going to keep growing, unfortunately. We see a lot of calls right now from pro-Palestinian movements that say, we have not done the work, it hasn't been finished yet. And the fear amongst the Jewish community is that the aggression is going to be now towards the Jewish community in the States, or, you know, wherever they are, not necessarily towards the state of Israel anymore, since there's no war. So we are still staying vigilant. We can't say, oh, yeah, it's coming down. I don't believe it is. I think it's just growing.
Right.
So we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, we're going to be praying that God would use this time, whatever, the death of Charlie Kirk and what it affected a lot of the universities, you know, we're praying that the combination of several things would raise up people, at least to be able to hear. And you just hinted to that they're willing to listen. And we want to give them truth. And that's what Alex and I've been praying for, like the what happened in the Jesus movement in the 60s. God was moving, but people that was so traditional in the churches, they didn't necessarily accept this. Okay, they sing folk songs. They you know, so we're praying that churches would be, okay, we want to be on the front line of if God is moving, we want to join God and join him where he's working. Isn't that what we're praying for, Alex?
It absolutely is. And, you know, as long as it's about Jesus and the true gospel, I mean, regardless of the cultural accompaniments, we need to rejoice when the Spirit of God moves. And I do think we're seeing the winds of revival begin to move. I pray so globally.
Yes. Amen.
Globally. Sergey, how can we be praying for you, my friend?
Yeah, just before I'll tell you, I'll share really quick. This weekend, I had a chance to drive to Washington, D.C. with some of my friends and teammates that work with me, just to spend 40 hours in prayer with no sleep, you know, walk around Washington with a Jesus movement. There was about 2,000 young people praying in tents 24 hours for 50 states. It was amazing to see that.
Hallelujah.
So I'm pretty sure this is like a big moment in the United States right now for this. And, you know, I haven't prayed in the Mississippi tent because it's close to home for me.
Amen.
But yeah, keep praying for our ministry here. Keep praying for my team. They, you know, it's not easy for them. They're young. They're in their 20s. They're starting for the first time ever to reach people with the gospel in a city like New York. And pray for them, pray for our ministry as a whole to the Jewish people. And also, you mentioned praying for the Arab people. I'm a big believer that the ministries that work towards the Muslims are going to bring people to the gospel, because we see Muslims coming to the gospel. And when they would learn how to love their Jewish brothers and sisters, to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. I think if your enemy ever will share the gospel with you, there's no way you can't accept it, which is amazing.
Amen, brother.
Wow.
Amen. Amen,
wow.
Sergey. Well, listen, if you want to know more about Chosen People, what's the website, Sergey?
It's chosenpeople.org.
Okay. I didn't know what the last three letters were. I knew it was Chosen People. Alex, would you mind praying for Chosen People, the ministry there, Sergey, and the ministry there in New York, and also for the revival that we feel like God is giving us the opportunity to join and spread? Would you mind praying, Alex?
Thank you. Let's join together, folks. Dear Lord Jesus, we come together this day, and Lord, I happen to know that not only do we have listeners throughout America, internationally, I know we have at least one listener in Romania right now is listening. And so we all around the world unite ourselves together in prayer. First and foremost, we praise your name. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us, and thank you for paying our sin debt on the cross. And Lord, we rejoice that peace is coming to Jerusalem, and to Gaza. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for it to be a lasting peace. We pray for your Holy Spirit to restrain evil. And Lord, the bloodshed will stop, and it will be a time of life. And Lord, this will be a moment where your Holy Spirit will begin to move, and souls will be saved, Christians would evangelize, the church would grow, and the name of Jesus would be glorified. And Father, I pray for Sergei Brazov and Chosen People Ministries. Lord, we've loved this ministry for many, many years. Lord, wherever they are, in the Middle East, in Israel, in New York City, on the campuses, Columbia, the Ivy League schools, Lord, I pray that you'll protect Sergei and all of his team. Lord, that you'll anoint them, and Lord, that they will see souls for their labor. And Father, in the name of Jesus, as we talk about the Jewish people and the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, Father, I pray for an end to anti-Semitism, yes, and violence against Jewish people. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of the children of Ishmael, the Muslim, the Arabic world, that those people would be saved. And Lord, maybe Ishmael would help evangelize Isaac, but Lord, for all the world, that people would know Jesus, and you would use our lives and AFR to that end. We commit all of this to you, gratefully, prayerfully, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sergei, thank you, brother. Okay, we appreciate that. I think I heard that dial tone, probably lost, but man, what an opportunity it was. Alex, we've had this opportunity with Sergei about, this is the fourth time, if I remember, and mm-hmm. it's just refreshing to see that. So pray for Sergei and the chosen people. Let's get back, if we could. We are in chapter 5, verse 1. Let me read verses 2, 3, and 4, and I think we may can go over this in the time frame we have before we take the break and take calls. But it says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. He's talking about leaders, these elders that he's referring to, serving as overseers. I think King James says bishop, which is meaning overseer, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Alex, I would say Peter lays it down for leadership in the church. He tells what they should do and what they should not be about, doesn't he?
That's right. Examples to the flock. And, you know, there's so much we could say about the wording here, feeding the flock of God, nurturing, investing in, and not, you know, just heavy-handed, autocratic leadership, but being examples. That's the strongest. Isn't the strongest sermon a good example, Bert, as the old saying goes?
Amen. I heard it said, your life speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. In other words, there's so too much inconsistency of what you're saying and the way you're living. So, Alex, I think Peter, when you see what he's doing here, he's putting those together, I think, isn't he?
Yes, he really is. He really is. And it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. This is another one of those great renderings or the reference to Jesus. I think at the end of chapter 2, verse 25, Peter uses the term for Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And here is yet another fairly unique reference to Jesus, the chief shepherd shall appear. You know, we under-shepherds, Bert, you and I have both pastored. We've also been itinerant. We're on the radio. I will say this, that exploring the Word is kind of a church in a way, because we meet people everywhere that have been evangelized and are being discipled through exploring the Word. We give God the glory. But we're what they call under-shepherds. Christ Jesus is the chief shepherd. Yeah. We want to be like him, don't we, Bert?
We do. Now, Jesus is referred to as the one you said, but two other places. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he's the good shepherd. Now, what does the good shepherd? He lays his life down for his sheep. In other words, he is there. He's the good shepherd. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, he is the great shepherd. He's the one that lives for the sheep. And so he is that shepherd. When God refers to us as sheep, not dogs, not hogs, not cats, but sheep. There's two or three things. Sheep is a lot kind of defenseless. They don't have a lot of offensive weapons, let me say it that way. And also they can't be driven. They have to be led. They have to be careful where they go. When you look at Psalm 23, he goes by the calm water, the still waters, because one of the most dangerous things that ever happens is a sheep in running water because of their wool, what would take place, and that have no way to escape. So the sheep, they're completely dependent just about on the shepherd to be able to have them to have a life that would be beneficial for them. And mainly in the Jewish culture, they would kill the sheep and they were a sacrifice. But the thing they got most out of them was the wool, the milk, and the lambs. That's what they go. So if we are under shepherds and he's the chief shepherd, we who are under shepherds, we ought to be producing that, Alex. We need to have those kind of characteristics about us, should we not?
Well, we should. And, you know, there's a contrast because verse 1, the elders, and not only does it speak of, you know, age, being older, but of, you know, leadership and responsibility. When I think about leadership, I don't so much think about authority, but I think about responsibility. But in verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. One of the greatest leadership qualities is humility, isn't it?
It really is. And God resists the proud. You don't want to be resisted by God. You want to be accepted in him. 888-589-8840 is the number. We would love to hear your Bible question today.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real, and yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
So give me faith like Daniel.
Amen. Thank you, Brent. Did you know I needed that song, brother?
I was pretty sure you did.
Okay, thank you. I love that song, man. We can face our giants with confidence when we have Jesus. This is Bert and Alex in Exploring the Word, and we're taking phone calls. That number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We have lines that are open, so go to the phone lines. And while we're waiting, Alex, would you mind going back to verse 4 and see this when it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, again, we can get all caught up on the crown of glory, and that's good, but the fading not away. The crowns that people got back then, they were wreaths, and they would be of greenery or some flowers mixed up with them, and they would be good, you know, for a day or two, but then they would fade away and wilt. He said, man, the one that I will give won't fade away. And the question I want to ask you, if you get one of these crowns, are you going to wear it around in heaven, or are you going to do something with it other than wear it around?
We're going to lay it at Jesus' feet, aren't we?
We really are. Amen.
And five times the New Testament says we're going to lay our crowns at his feet because, you know, hey, we couldn't do anything without Jesus. We wouldn't have a message if it wasn't for Jesus. We wouldn't have the ability if it wasn't for God's Holy Spirit. So we can take no credit, really, you know.
It's him.
It is all about Jesus. Hey, I've got to say, and calls are coming in. By the way, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. If you've got a Bible question, 888-589-8840. I had the great joy Friday night. I went to a Christian bookstore and did a book signing for our new book. And, of course, everybody there asked about you. And where's Bert? I said, well, Bert is in Mississippi. I was at a bookstore in South Carolina. But the new book, folks, and we give God the glory for it, but you've helped us, folks. I'm going to hold up a copy for those watching online. 100 Bible Questions and Answers on Prophecy in the End Times, published by Broad Street, and it's out now. And so we just appreciate, Bert, aren't we blessed? We have listeners asking good questions. We have a radio network called AFR and publishers that want to print what you and I give as answers. And why? For the glory of God and the salvation of souls. That's what this is all about.
It really is. And we thank God for this. And we want to make the most of what God has given to us. So we want to appear before him. And he said, well done, boys. Well done. Y'all,
amen.
Y'all did that well. And I really do want that in my heart, in my life. And so we want it for you as well. That's why we share the Word of God, and we do it with some passion in our hearts and hopefully compassion for those that are struggling. But it is Jesus and Jesus alone, and so amen. Trust him. Well, Alex, we did get some phone calls, did we not?
Randy in Texas. Randy, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Blessed. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. My question was about 1 Peter 3:19, where it says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I was wondering if you could explain to me what exactly that means.
Let me set this up, Alex, and you take it away. The word preached, it's pronouncement, not proclamation. It's not the gospel. Sometimes, and they're still that way, but this is a pronouncement. On the cross, he had pronounced, it is finished. I think he had a pronouncement there about what God had done. And the other thing I'd say is the prison. Alex, sometimes that word is hard to know exactly in the Greek. So this is why sometimes it's been, I would say, from good people, presented in two different ways. But I don't believe it's, when it's talking about humans, whether they were dead or alive, it usually says souls and not spirits, right?
That's true. And this is a really good question. And this is an eschatological question. But okay, the spirits in prison, for one, it could be fallen angels, and it wouldn't be the non-fallen angels because they've never sinned and are not in prison, but the demons that Jesus, after having paid the sin debt on the cross, proclaimed or declared that their doom was a certainty. They had lost. He was victorious. The cross of Calvary triumphs over all evil. And then another interpretation is that these are the human spirits of people, basically Old Testament, not only the unbelievers of the Old Testament, but the believing, the saints of old, who in faith looked for the Messiah that would come. I mean, Bert, that's how people get saved and always have, through faith. Now, we look at the Messiah that did come, Jesus. The Old Testament saints, they anticipated and they looked toward the Messiah that would come. It's Jesus. But in the realm of the dead, scholars of old, Bert, would say that Jesus spoiled the grave. What does that mean? Well, he paid for sin, he conquered death, but Abraham and those in paradise, he took them to heaven. They were held in the realm of the dead, and he took them to heaven, but to the unbelieving spirits, the lost and the fallen angels. It was a proclamation, victory, victory. Bert, I want to say this. Every square inch of the created universe, no matter how vast it is, the Bible says that Jesus is King and his name is proclaimed and every knee will bow.
Amen. So when do you want to bow and call him Lord? Now's the day. One day you will, but you don't want to do it after death. You want to do it before death. So you're listening today and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior. You may have just discovered American Family Radio recently. You may have just turned on recently and been listening to Exploring the Word, and you're wondering about these things because you're like on a lot of searching that people are doing these days. More Bibles are being bought. People are, especially in college towns, they're, more of them are going to church and they're looking for answers. Don't put it off. Today's the day. Trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And we really, 888 need him is some people that you can call and talk with them and they'll pray with you. They're our ministering partners with us and we thank God for them. So make sure you get right with God today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Randy. Let's also in Texas, by the way, the number, if you've got a Bible question, the number is 888-589-8840. Bobby in Texas, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I've got a question that I'm pretty sure you've answered 100 times, but is it bad to have a margarita or a beer in the comfort of your own home if you're not looking to get drunk or anything like that?
Okay, let me start off. The Bible warns against alcohol because it has some addictive problems, issues with it, and it can do that. So the Bible warns you about alcohol. The Bible condemns drunkenness. And so Alex is pretty clear on drunkenness, but in the house and everything. Now, I want to say this, and I'll turn it over to you. You don't find me anywhere, anyway, saying, oh, alcohol's all right. Listen, when you've seen what I've seen after 50 years of pastoring and seeing the lives that have been ruined, and every one of those people that were alcoholics started with one drink, whether it was in their home, whether it was in a car or a restaurant. And so I just give the warning that the writer of Proverbs does. You know, be careful. I stay away from it. I find my comfort somewhere else. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, 1 Corinthians 6:12, and Bobby, thanks for asking this. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. The King James says expedient or helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And we certainly know, I mean, it's undeniable, many people's lives have been dominated and even damaged and then some destroyed.
Let me add this, Alex. Stay right where you are. And while they do it, it destroys others as well. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And so I want to be clear, spirit of full honesty. The Bible does not categorically condemn the use of alcohol and say, thou shalt not have an alcoholic drink. It doesn't say that. I'm not going to say it does. However, there are so many, many warnings about the destructive power of it. And then, of course, Paul talks about our testimony, you know, that we don't want to make a weaker brother stumble. And so, Bert, do you remember the there was a poem so many years ago, I've got it framed, it says, a careful man I ought to be.
Yes.
A little boy is watching me.
I have that. It was pinned, needle pointed to our sons from my wife. Yeah. Yep.
Be careful. Little eyes are watching us. And just there's so many things. And the Bible gives us freedom. During the Reformation, Luther wrote about on Christian liberty. But here's the thing. With liberty comes responsibility. And I think when we talk about that, because there is such volatile potential for testimony to be jeopardized, for other people to be influenced. That's why, believe it or not, you and I, we have a good time and we laugh and cut up. But I'm telling you, what we say and what we do, especially on this show, we're really, really careful about it, because I don't want to influence anybody in the wrong way.
I don't either.
And so, sir, just think long and hard about that, really. We might be free, but that doesn't mean that we have license, does it, Bert?
It does not. Hey, Brent, turn your microphone on. What would you say a little alcohol does?
Inhibits your abilities. And for one, it inhibits your ability to witness. I feel like I'm a former alcoholic myself. I used to drink plenty and too much. And I look at it now and I go, what if I'm even the least bit inebriated? And somebody needs to hear something about God. I mean, I'm so relaxed with that stuff. I'm not going to study that.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. I just thought people need to hear that. What
God bless you.
God delivered this man, and he delivered Amen. Him. And now look what he's doing. Pray. He's part of Exploring the Word team. That's what our God can do. Go ahead,
Amen.
Alex.
Amen. How about we go to Tennessee? Chris in Tennessee, thank you for holding.
Oh, thank you. I was wanting to know the meaning of this verse, 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22.
Okay. Let me say, we're going to study 2 Peter when we get there, but jump ahead, Alex. Go ahead. It is some of those difficult passages, but tasting.
You know, it's funny.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chris, I almost read this verse a few minutes ago, that those who promise liberty, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered. And it happened, and this verse 22 quotes Proverbs 26 about the dog returning to its vomit. But that's the 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. Chris, and what would your question about that be?
It makes you think you can lose your salvation if you get back, if after you receive Christ and you get back entangled in sin, and sin overcomes you, then it makes you think that you can lose your salvation.
Well, the larger context, yes, I get this. It's really about false teachers who promise liberty and freedom and, hey, I've got the inside track, and yet people... I think the end is worse than the beginning. Imagine somebody, Bert, that is close to salvation. They're almost to the point of really having a born-again experience with Jesus, but they get off on some, you know, tangent, and they are deeply religious but lost. So if this was the only passage, but I think we have plenty of other scriptures that do talk about the eternal security of the true believer, but I think this is a warning against those who fall under the sway of false teachers.
I do as well. When you look at the whole context of chapter 4, especially from 8 on through, you find that to be so true. Hope that helps, Stephen. No, that was Chris. Stephen's next, isn't he?
Stephen in Texas, you're on Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much for your help. My question is, can you forgive a person if they have not asked for forgiveness?
Okay. The short answer is yes, and here's the reason. You know, but them knowing you're forgiven, they don't know that. But if you don't forgive and you let bitterness come in, you're going to be worse off. If it's better to forgive. Let me just, Alex, take it away for this last minute.
Well, yeah, Christ from the cross, he said, the masses of people around, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. You know, so much of what I have done in the ministry has been trying to get people to mend fences and get along together. And, hey, one of the best favors that you can ever do yourself is to be a ready forgiver.
Yeah. Do not let bitterness be a part of your life. Don't let the sun go down on your bitterness. Forgive, forgive. And that's what Jesus did. Alex, we're going to finish 1 Peter tomorrow. It's going to be good, isn't it?
Linda, there were a couple of calls we didn't get to. Please try again tomorrow. We'll do our best to get all the calls in. Folks, thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. May God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.